You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
This past February, the New York Times reported that women are poised to surpass men on the nation's payrolls, taking the majority for the first time in American history. With 82% of the job losses affecting men and the prospect of a tough labor market into the foreseeable future, a major shakeup is taking place in the landscape of American families. Jeremy Adam Smith argues in his book, The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family, that the evolution in shared parenting and more stay-at-home dads is actually going to better prepare families for life in the 21st century. The book is published by Beacon. I'm very pleased it has brought Jeremy Adam Smith to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
And you were born in 1970 when you say men spent an average of 3 hours a week with their kids? Was it really that little?
Yeah, these measures always sound kind of funny because
well some fathers spend a lot of time, so that means some fathers were spending zero.
Yes, that is very important to keep in mind, that there's a lot of diversity. There was a lot of diversity in 1970, and there's a lot of diversity now.
What happened with your father?
My father was a fairly typical baby boomer in that I think he really wanted to be a very involved father, certainly more involved than his father. However, he was the primary breadwinner, and my mother and father never for a moment thought their roles as breadwinner and caregiver were something to be negotiated.
So she was a stay-at-home mom.
She was.
70s is when things start changing, isn't it? And we see more and more women, mothers, going into the workforce.
Yeah, that's right. You know, though it's also important to keep in mind that women's employment jumped every decade of the 20th century. So this was capping a long-term trend in the 70s and 80s.
But isn't it also true that your grandparents would have, your grandfather would have had more involvement with his children than your parents would have?
That my grandfather would have been?
In other words, you know, your parents' parents often, it was different again. The grandparents were often much more involved with their families.
Yeah.
This is something that seemed to happen really in the 40s and 50s in America.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, initially after, you know, when I looked at my own experience, when I started speaking to dads, I really heard a lot about how they were different from their fathers and how they didn't feel like their fathers were role models for them. But one of the things I discovered when I really started to drill down into the history and the data and I began to understand those long-term historical trends is that my grandfather's generation and my generation are much more alike than different in terms of their caregiving and working patterns.
In an epilogue, you write, "When I started to take care of Liko every day, I didn't see myself in any way that was positive. At first, I saw only the negative aspects, no regular work, no free time, no adult companionship, no respect." Do you think women who suddenly find themselves in a similar situation are likely to have the same sorts of feelings?
Yeah, many women do, absolutely. You know, the difference for women is that there's a high level of population density when they become mothers, and they click into a social scene. You know, they enter into, I would describe it as being a kind of village. Mothers in the park, in play groups, in music
daycare.
Classes, seeing each other in daycare. Right. And sometimes, if they're lucky, getting support from their female relatives.
And why not males? I mean, fathers bring their kids to the park, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the things I discovered is that if you start looking for men, you find them. Initially, when I started going to playgrounds with my son, I looked around and it was all moms, or at least that's what I saw. But over time, I started to see more and more dads. And gradually, I realized that they were definitely a minority group on the playground.
Did the feelings of isolation change over the time that you stayed at home?
Yeah, absolutely. For two reasons. One is that I did meet these dads, and I, after a couple of months when I realized my isolation was hurting me, I actually started reaching out to them, not just to the dads, but also to moms. And also I looked online, you know, I sat down and I Googled stay-at-home dad and I discovered a lot of blogs and websites that provided me with a sense of virtual community.
And then you wound up with your own blog as well, Daddy Dialectic.
Yeah, that's right. It seemed natural to just start one.
Now, this thing only lasted a year anyway, so was that a fair test?
No, it's a terrible test, and you know I definitely do not portray myself as being king of the stay-at-home dads. You know, what my wife and I did was she stayed home a year and then I stayed home a year. And the average amount of time that a mother stays home with her children is about 2.2 years. So, you know, what we did was we took those 2 years and divided them up. You know, however, what happened, after I went back to work as a journalist, I started asking myself, I looked at my experience as a caregiver and I said, wow, that was mind-blowing. And it completely transformed my relationship to my son. And I asked myself, why is that? And why am I not hearing more about it? And I traveled all over the country for the Daddy Shift, interviewing dads in Kansas City, New York, Chicago. And I also talked to a lot of the researchers, leading family researchers, about, you know, why it is that men today are taking more care of children.
You had a special situation because you were a writer. You could work from home. Had you worked from home before?
No, I didn't. A big change for me.
Because I would think somebody who can work at home would feel the whole experience is a little less isolating.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that I envisioned life as a parent as life as it had been for my first 34 years, but with a baby added on. What I didn't realize is that it would change the way I saw work and what was important to me for work. And, you know, I actually just took a new job as editor of a website that hasn't been launched yet called shareable.net. And one of the conditions for that job for me was that I work at home. And I plan on taking my son to preschool, working down in the lobby of the preschool, and then taking him home and just working at home and being close to him the whole time.
How did your stay-at-home stint end?
With me going to work at Greater Good Magazine.
Uh-huh. And your wife staying at home, or did you hire a nanny? Because nannies are the way a lot of people get around
if
they can afford them.
He started going to preschool. You know, we felt pretty strongly when for his first 2 years that he really needed us home, just his personality and our personalities. But at a certain point, we said, you know what, this kid's ready to go out into the social world.
But you say also it's interesting that in your brief period as a stay-at-home dad, you feel you never really replaced your wife as the primary caregiver.
Absolutely. And that's still the case today.
So she came home after a full day's work and somehow took over the job as primary caregiver?
Well, here's how I would describe it. You know, as we neared the end of the day, my son would just like push himself up against the window and be like, when's mommy going to be home? When's mommy going to be home? When's mommy going to be home? And then when she came home, he was like, oh my God, thank God you're home. Now that diminished over time.
Now, did the other fathers that you spoke to say the same sort of thing happened with them?
Yeah, it's a pretty common experience that mom stays number one. And I personally am completely comfortable with that. And feel very fortunate that, you know, even though that's the case, we were able to develop a special relationship and relate to each other on our own terms, where he accepted me as his caregiver and I knew how to take care of him. That was that became a core competency for me.
Can you tell the story of Kent and Misun mm-hmm. and how they became, as you write, utterly comfortable in their respective roles, a role reversal by traditional standards?
Yeah, this is an interesting couple because, you know, Misun was a very career-oriented growing up. And in graduate school, people would say to her, you know, Misun, you need to marry a stay-at-home dad. That would be perfect for you because you want to have kids, but you don't want to take care of them. So, you know, you should do that. And she would just laugh them off and say, there's no way. You know, this was in the 80s and it was inconceivable to her that this might be the case. But she met Kent and they decided before their child was born that he would be the stay-at-home dad. And their first child, whom I call Clinton, was born with profound disabilities, life-threatening profound disabilities. And Kent's life as a stay-at-home dad was completely consumed with caring for his son, literally 24 hours a day.
Are there differences among different ethnic and racial groups? In the case of African Americans, for example, where employment of women, I think, is probably at a higher rate than of men.
Yeah, absolutely. The black community has a long tradition of female employment and a largely invisible tradition of male caregiving. You know, we have a stereotype in this culture that I think was actually highlighted this past Father's Day, that black fathers are somehow not involved. And fatherlessness is a fact of life in the black community, as it is in many other communities. However, for the fathers that are at home, that are living with the mothers, those are very highly involved fathers, actually more involved than their white counterparts. And this is, you know, this is often obscured when we talk about black fatherhood.
My guest is Jeremy Adam Smith. His book, The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting are Transforming the American Family. It's published by Beacon. We will continue our conversation after this. Mm-hmm. Later on in this hour, we'll have a live performance by the wonderful Marcus Roberts Trio. And in our second hour, look at the unexpected musical legacy of Jimmy Rogers, who was known during his lifetime as the singing brakeman, plus why so many publishers are concerned about Google digitizing so many books. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.
WNYC is supported by New Jersey Performing Arts Center. Herbie Hancock and Lang Lang perform Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, the only metro area performance, Saturday, August 1st at 8. Tickets 1-888-GO-NJPAC and njpac.org. Dutton, publisher of Create Your Own Economy. Behavioral economist Tyler Cohen examines how the super networked world is changing the way we think and empowering individuals more than ever before. Create Your Own Economy, now available wherever books are sold. WNYC is the radio partner of the Celebrate Brooklyn Performing Arts Festival. Tomorrow, the Stephen Petronio Dance Company. Friday, Celebrate Brooklyn and American Express present Buckwheat Zydeco, free at the Prospect Park Bandshell. Details at brickonline.org.
So here's my uncommon economic indicator.
The height of the shipping containers around Newark Airport. Now, the higher they are, the less trade there is because they're all backed up.
It is much easier to find a taxi now than before, so obviously less people are taking taxis.
I'm saying to everybody, welcome to my world. Make do with less as possible.
Uncommon Economic Conversations, every day on WNYC.
We're back with Jeremy Adam Smith, who is the senior editor of Greater Good magazine. He has written for any number of publications, including Mothering, The Nation, San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Bay Guardian, The Attorney Reader, Wired, etc. And Mothering is particularly apt because he was a stay-at-home dad and has written a book about stay-at-home dads, The Daddy Shift, which is published by Beacon. What role, if any, do you think biology plays in how a parent responds to parenting? Is there a mommy gene?
There's definitely not a mommy gene, but there is a reproductive division of labor that is separate and unequal. I mean, men do not bear children and they don't breastfeed. And that is what causes many couples to fall in patterns where she's the lifelong primary caregiver and he's the lifelong primary breadwinner.
What were some of the most outrageous reactions you got when you told people that you were a stay-at-home dad?
Well, probably the most outrageous reaction. Well, first of all, I want to emphasize, amongst our circle of friends, people of our generation, nobody thought it was remarkable.
Because you were also in San Francisco and not in some other parts of this country where people might have reacted differently.
Yes, that is true. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit later. However, the older generation didn't feel that way. And a female relative of ours sent an email to me, to my wife, to my parents, to her parents, saying that what we were doing was very, very bad and that a father's duty was to make money and support his, so that his wife could stay home with his child.
Well, that's the traditional view. And that's a view, actually, that only became the dominant view in this country after World War II.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When you look at the history of the family, and by history of the family, I'm talking about 50,000 years, parents were always stay-at-home. Fathers and mothers were very intimately involved with the rearing of their children. And the home was a center of production. They were doing their work at home, and they were training their children, you know, how to continue that work and be a part of it. You know, and that changed with the Industrial Revolution when fathers went off to work. And for the very first time, mothers, you know, even though they performed many productive tasks in the home, you know, really became dependent on their male partner for, you know, to live for food and shelter.
And that became the traditional nuclear family.
Yes, that became the so-called traditional nuclear family.
Did all the cliches about stay-at-home dads, usually played for laughs in the movies, apply? Mm-hmm. Can't diaper, heat up a bottle that won't be too hot or too cold, quiet, screaming baby. Did they all apply?
Well, all parents, moms and dads, have a learning curve. All parents are pretty incompetent when they start out. All parents struggle, moms as well as dads. However, you know, moms have a 9-month head start where they're preparing themselves psychologically, if they're biological mothers, for becoming parents. And, you know, they're thrown oftentimes during that fourth trimester into the role of primary caregivers. And so they're really, you know, this is an all-consuming experience for them. And for fathers, it's a little more remote. You know, it's something they approach as if from a distance. That was the case with me and many dads I've interviewed, and that's the truth, and we shouldn't pretend that it's otherwise, I believe.
So when the father asks to hold the baby, it's an exceptional situation rather than the norm.
Yeah, in many families, that's definitely the case. And, you know, and oftentimes, you know, mothers for that reason come to feel a sense of ownership over the baby and over the household.
You write that there are 5 myths about stay-at-home dads. What are they, and what's the reality?
Well, the biggest myth is that all, you know, reverse traditional families are the same, that they're all affluent and white, and that is simply not true. Actually, as you go down the economic ladder, families are more and more likely to have a stay-at-home parent, mostly, and this goes for moms and for dads, mostly because of the cost of childcare, I would argue.
Well, one of the myths you say is the decision for a father to stay at home is always an economic one.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was in your case, wasn't it?
In our case, it really was not an economic decision. In our case, we really felt like our son needed one of us to take care of him. And I found that that was often the case with families.
But your wife could bring home more money at that point?
Well, it would be more accurate to say that, you know, I had reached a point in my career where I was at a crossroads where, you know, I was able to leave a job and do some other, you know, consulting work for a time. And, you know, and I decided, I felt very strongly that I should learn how to take care of my son, that that's something I needed to learn how to do.
And what that leads to one of the other myths you cite. Men would not take advantage of parental leave or flexible hours, even if those benefits were more widely offered.
Yeah. Only 13% of men in the United States have access to paid parental leave. And the Family Medical Leave Act only covers large businesses, only provides 12 weeks of unpaid leave. And many families cannot, even if they have access to that leave, they don't feel able to afford it. And men, you know, when they become fathers, experience a lot of pressure to be the breadwinners, to be the financially responsible one.
But, you know, we're talking about something as though it is widespread. Maybe it's gotten larger in the last year or so because of the economic downturn. But in 2007, the Census Bureau counted 159,000 stay-at-home dads in the U.S. That was up from 64,000 in 1995, but it's just paltry when you compare it to the 5.6 million mothers, the stay-at-home mothers, in the same census.
Yeah. Well, the census doesn't count fathers who do any paid work at all. And in my experience, in my research, overwhelmingly, fathers who are the primary caregivers are likely to be doing some kind of paid work to keep some kind of hand in the labor force. And to really understand larger patterns of male caregiving, you have to look at Bureau of Labor Statistics data. For example, when they asked children, who takes care of you while mommy's at work? And one out of 4 of those children said daddy. Or you have to look at social scientific studies where scientists have actually had parents, you know, say what they're doing hour to hour. And then you can really understand, you know, what level of engagement these men have at home.
One of the other things that comes up often when we talk about women who have to decide whether to stay at home or not is the effect it has on their career. If they choose to stay at home for more than a brief time, then that's considered a career killer. Does it work that way for men as well?
You know, it's too early to say empirically. You know, we just don't have the facts on that. I can say that for the fathers that I know who I followed for a long time, oftentimes they will use the time as primary caregivers to retool their careers. They'll take classes. They'll get their real estate license. That's what one father I know did. And they're always thinking and scheming about what they're going to do when their time as caregiver comes to an end.
And how does the United States compare to other places, Europe, Canada?
Mm-hmm.
South America?
Well, that's a very diverse group you just mentioned. You know, what's interesting to me is that it's very difficult to compare the number of stay-at-home dads to the number of stay-at-home dads in Europe, especially in the Northern European countries. And the reason for this is because, especially in Scandinavia, the parents are taking leave, both moms and dads, for up to 2 years, and most of that time is paid. And so what they're doing is they're scaling back on work. They're not leaving their jobs. Their jobs are being held for them. And they're not losing their income. They're still getting upwards of around 80% of their income for an extended period of time. And so you really, you know, when you talk about stay-at-home parents in the United States, you're talking about parents who are knocked out of the workforce because the structure of work in this country was not compatible with their caregiving. And in Europe, they have a very different arrangement that's where parents are more likely to stay home with kids and more likely to go to be working, to go back to work.
Now, this may be tangential, but a listener asks what you know about the effects on children when dads are pushed to the sidelines of the kids' lives, when custody is granted to the mother and she uses the kids to punish the father and children by frustrating access to the children.
Well, you know, I think that the situation he's describing, and I assume it's a he.
Sounds like a bitter situation for this person.
You know, that's a terrible situation, and it goes without saying that a family in conflict is not good for children, and that's really the root of what we're talking about here.
Are you predicting that we're going to see more stay-at-home dads in the future, whether the economy improves or not?
What I think we're going to start seeing right now is fewer voluntary stay-at-home dads and more involuntary stay-at-home dads. You know, even parents who still have jobs really feel themselves to be under the gun. Most parents that I know personally, you know, really feel threatened on their jobs. And people don't feel like they have a lot of room to maneuver. And so you're going to see fewer fathers, I believe, saying that they want to be stay-at-home dads. And you're going to see fewer moms saying that as well, I believe. However, you know, as you said at the beginning of the show, 80% of the layoffs have been male. And a lot of dads are being thrown into new roles at home. What's different from, for example, what happened during the Great Depression or other periods of widespread unemployment is that those fathers would be completely destroyed by unemployment because they were told that money was the only thing they could give to their family. And today, we have a decade's worth of voluntary stay-at-home dads who are saying to these fathers, you still have something to contribute at home. You can still see to the well-being of your family. And that's a message that I think also that moms need to hear, that their husband still has a contribution he can make.
Jeremy Adam Smith's book, The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family, is published by Beacon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.